Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, which is part of the Demcast Network. I'm Kimberly Johnson in DC. Today, my guest is Sherry Jacobus. I've been wanting to talk with her for a while, so I'm excited she's on the show. She's a nationally recognized political strategist, pundit, and writer. She's been on everything, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, CBS. She is the executive producer of America Reads the Mueller Report, which can be found at americareadsthemuellerreport.org. If you visit that site and you click on their About button, you can read, it says, we are America Reads the Mueller Report, a nonprofit organization. We've gathered a few recognizable celebrities, friends, a few regular folks from around the country to read key excerpts from the Mueller Report. Now, Sherry and I are going to be talking a lot about the impeachment process and the fact that Nancy Pelosi is not including the Mueller Report obstruction in the articles of impeachment. But before we get into the conversation, Sherry is a conservative, and frankly, I'm not sure if she's a Republican anymore. She used to be, she still may be, but she's a never-Trumper. And I didn't realize she was a Republican when I started following her. I started following her because she's a reasonable human being who knows that Trump is a criminal and should be, taken out of office, but more than voted out of office, removed from office. So, you know, I like I said, I didn't know that she had been a Republican, but I have never really seen something that she said that I thought, no, I always agreed with her. So I definitely wanted to have her on. And I wanted to talk to her about a couple of different things. One thing in particular was that visit to Walter Reed that Trump had, that unusual Walter Reed visit where he supposedly started the first phase of his yearly physical, which we all do, right? We all have phases of our physical. Anyway, Sherry immediately jumped on that and she said, this is the beginning, this is the first phase of a possible Trump resignation. He's setting himself up to say, okay, if the shit really hits the fan, then he can fall back on his health and say he has to resign. And we get into that. So that's going to be an interesting conversation there too. I also just want to bring up a couple of things before we get into it. As you know, I had a Republican presidential candidate, Joe Walsh, on the show not too long ago, and the people who have subscribed to the show really liked it. I did get some crap from people online saying that somebody like him shouldn't have any kind of platform on a Democratic person's podcast. The way that I look at this is there are never Trumpers out there and they're conservatives and I may disagree with them. And of course, there are people that can argue, hey, they got us into this mess in the first place. And I'm not going to disagree with that. But the fact is, they understand what an existential threat Trump is to this country. Plus, most of them understand what an existential threat Putin is to the globe. And they're out there educating people. So for now, for the time being, while we are in this crisis, I will accept... I'm not going to say help, but I'm just going to say, you know, I'm going to hold their hand because if they're going to go after Trump and they're going to try to disqualify him for the next election or, you know, help him get defeated in any way, I'm there for it. I actually wrote a piece, an article in my Patreon talking about the fact that for me, the idea is the way that I consider a never Trumper an ally is if they keep their focus on attacking Donald Trump and not the Democrats, also not giving the Republican basically the Trump campaign material for attack ads. And that brings me to Steve Schmidt. So I told you last week that I invited him on the show and I had a conversation with him and it was awesome. And he, you know, we set a date for January 15th. Then he appeared on Morning Joe when he ripped Elizabeth Warren apart, calling her a hypocrite and self-righteous, which, now let me just be clear. I really don't give a shit if Steve Schmidt likes Elizabeth Warren or if he doesn't want to vote for her or whatever he thinks about her. I don't care. I'm not bothered. He's a conservative. It's not surprising that a conservative is not going to like Elizabeth Warren. But what he did, and I, you know, if he does come, if he does show up and he wants to be on the show, which I called him out on Twitter, so we'll find out what happens. If he does, I'm going to have to bring this up to him. I'm going to have to say, look, if your main goal is convincing people that Trump is a threat and that, you know, Russia is a threat, then how can you justify going after a potential Democratic candidate? Because if she is our nominee, then he helped provide the Trump campaign with material for attack ads. And, you know, I called him out on Twitter and he tweeted back to me and he said, respectfully, they already had this information. And it's like, well, yeah, sure they did. But you gave them audio and video. And also, independents listened to him. He has weight. So I found it to be disappointing. And I'm going to have to bring that up to him. And I really didn't want to, because out of everybody out there, I think Steve Schmidt is the most clear when it comes to the threat that both Russia and Trump pose. He just, the other day on Chris Hayes, he brought up the fact that Ted Cruz was, you know, spreading Russian propaganda. And then the other thing I want to say before we get going is I sent an email out letting everybody know that the Wednesday show, so yesterday's show, was going to be postponed to Monday because I had issues with I needed a plumber. So much fun. So prior to doing that, you know, I said that, you know, this woman that I'm going to interview, she was scheduled for Wednesday. Now she's scheduled for Monday. So before all of this stuff happened, I had scheduled somebody for Tuesday. And then I had also scheduled Steph for Wednesday, which will be the last show of the year. So you're going to get three shows next week. Just be prepared for that. You'll have 2 weeks to listen to them because I'm not going to be on, or maybe 3 weeks. I don't even know. I won't be on again until January 8th. So that's going to be, I'm going to be talking to the CEO of MeWe, which is a Facebook alternative. All right. So now, guess what? Start Me Up is a podcast that is supported by listeners just like you. And I don't have corporate funding. Right now, I don't have advertisers. I might fold and I might go with them this year, but right now I don't. And that means that this show survives because of patrons. And thank you for everybody who supports the show. You can be a patron for $1 a month, $2 a month. That would be great. You won't even miss that money. And it's like taking me to the movies or less for the work that I do. If you sign up for $5, you get access to And Another Thing, which is a segment I do with co-hosts. And it's right after the free show. We do that at least two times a month. So it's just extra bonus shows. And then also, don't forget, go over to iTunes and become a subscriber, and then also give me a great review. I would love that. I need more. Now, let's see. Oh, you know, and of course you can find Start Me Up on iTunes, Stitcher, and all the places you can find podcasts. Take a listen. Go to patreon.com/startmeup. And I have a list of guests on the front page. You can listen. You can just click on their name and their podcast will come up. If you like what you hear, become a subscriber. All right, that's it. Now for my interview with Sherry Jacobus. Welcome, Sherry.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being on the show. You have some great takes and I'm really looking forward to getting into them. And we're definitely going to get into impeachment and what you've been talking about. But before we get started, I really do want to bring up that hospital, that unusual hospital visit last month? I don't even remember. But yeah, supposedly it goes like this. He's just going to be so busy in 2020, Trump, that he's not going to have time for his physical. So he started the first phase. Okay.
Yes.
Who does that? And so immediately you were right on it and you were talking about the fact that you think this is basically him in the first phase of his resignation. And the reason it piqued my interest was because last summer I heard from some Republicans that there was a rumor he was going to retire or resign in March. And actually, I do think that, and of course, now I'm going to forget his name and I'll remember it in a minute, but there was some other Republican who worked for the campaign, the Italian guy, whose name is just escaping me right now.
Scaramucci?
Yeah, Scaramucci. I believe he said...
He'd be so upset if he thought somebody forgot his name.
Oh, well. but I think that he said something similar.
He was
similar.
There for 11 days. I mean, come on.
Yeah, right. So... the thing that I find odd is how can that be predicted? But so what do you have to say? Because you were all over this and you were really strong on this. And I'm just really curious.
Well, first of all, I don't think that Anthony Scaramucci has any inside information. He used to be, he used to kind of be in that crowd, you know, Roger Stone, Michael Cohen, Arthur Schwartz, who's sort of a hanger-on, who now is the spokesperson, spokesthug, I would say, for Don Jr. So, you know, 11 days working in the White House does not make one an expert. So let's just forget about that. I do, however, I was at the gym and I saw this pop up. I believe that Trump had made this trip to the Walter Reed Hospital. Uh-huh. Now, everything about it was odd. And it was as if they were trying to make it look normal, but mm-hmm. they could have done that very, very easily. And they also did just enough so that there would be speculation, because this way he can have the best of both worlds. First of all, I think we all know that Donald Trump is not a healthy man.
No,
he's grossly overweight. He lies about his health. He lies about his weight and his height so that he can stay under the actual official obesity mm-hmm. description. But he is obese and he's in his 70s and his diet is horrible. Mm-hmm. You can tell by his puffy face. No man at that age and in that condition has lower cholesterol than me. And according to his doctor, who later even admitted that, you know, this was dictated, the letter about Trump's health was dictated by Trump. So we do not know the actual for sure physical condition of the president, but we know it's not good. Mm-hmm. We know that there is obviously some neurological, mental deficiencies there. If you just compare his the manner of speech to just a few years ago, we know this is not a healthy man. We know he's lying about his health. That said, if he had, say some of the typical things a man his age and his physical condition might be suffering from, those would be things that you can pretty much handle at the White House, mm-hmm. where they have basically a full hospital set up there, and just as they do on Air Force One. Mm-hmm. But here's why I think that he wants to preserve health reasons for resignation as an option. Now, you can't have a physical and then a few months later say, you know what, I have to resign for health reasons just when impeachment heats up. But at any given point in time, Trump's political and legal situation is in peril. Mm-hmm. So he needs to have these regular intervals of, quote, physical exams. So at any given time, he can say, oh, guess what? That was in the Mueller report. Mm-hmm. The only thing was that Stone's name was redacted, but everybody knew it was Stone. Mm-hmm. We actually read that excerpt, parts of it, in America Reads the Mueller report. We address that. So the fact that this was new news, what, a month ago? To political reporters and many in the media, yeah. and many Democrats, when in fact it was in the Mueller report and released in April, had these reporters pounded on just that fact over and over and over again, the fact that the president of the United States was on a call and being told in June of 2016 that WikiLeaks was about to drop this information, about to release information from hacked emails. And isn't that great for him? And he was going to start his whole political strategy around it. That was in June of 2016 he was doing that. That was in the Mueller report. Had anybody read the Mueller report and pounded on just that fact alone over and over and over again, every reporter asking him about it over and over and over again, mm-hmm. every member of Congress, Democrat, going home for their town hall meetings in the summer, repeating that fact over and over and over again, that alone would have, in my view, brought down Trump's approval ratings quite a lot and started to turn the tide. But they didn't read it. They didn't know it. And they were so excited to learn this as new information just a few weeks ago. I knew it in April. Why mm-hmm. didn't they?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the fact that you've made it. And I am going to include the link to the America Reads the Mueller report in the text of the Patreon description. I also
thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thank you for being on the show. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter?
At Cherie Jacobus, at CHERIJACOBUS. Follow me.
And yes, definitely follow her. I'm going to also include that in the description. Thank you, Cherie, for being on. You're an awesome person. I appreciate what you're doing in every way.
Thank you so much. You too.
Take care.
Bye.
Well, I mean, she's really smart and she's right. And I hate to say that she's right because unless the Democrats... unless they, you know, continue with an investigation and bring the obstruction from the Mueller report into the articles of impeachment, I do think that there is a risk that we could lose this fight, which scares me. So I want to reiterate to everyone out there that, you know, Sherry is she's an independent. She's basically a conservative who, like so many others, have, I don't know that she actually left the Republican Party. I'm not sure about that. But, you know, her mindset is obviously she sees a criminal, like she's a reasonable person and she sees what's happening. So, her criticism frightens me. And frankly, I'd like to go back to the Never Trumper thing where I don't want to see Never Trumpers attack Democrats. I don't think what she's doing is attacking. I think what she's doing is basically, saying, you guys, I think you need to focus on this if you want to win. And it's certainly not going to be used in an attack ad. So I agree with her, but agreeing with her kind of deflates me. This whole crazy, unbelievable situation that we're in, there are just so many variables. And I hope, don't get happy, I hope that there have been a couple of experts, election experts, who have predicted basically a blue wave, a blue tsunami for 2020. And they're basing this on the 2018 midterm election because, 2010, 2014, turnout was awful. 2018, the turnout was like a presidential election. And then we've seen since, you know, we've seen in 2017, 2018, and 2019, Democrats have won elections, specifically women. A lot of women have knocked even some of the Republican men out of their seats. I'm hopeful that it's not just going to be about impeachment as far as, you know, I mean, if Democrats choose to take what they have right now to the Senate and then it gets acquitted, I hope that there's enough, you know, anger and I don't know, anger, fear. I don't think we should rule on fear, but sure, I'm frightened. I'm so frightened. I mean, in any election, I'm going to vote for the president, for the Democrat who's running for president. I'm just going to do it because I'm not going to vote for the Republican and I'm not going to not vote. I would say the only time that I would be afraid to vote would be for Tulsi. But even in this election, I'm not sure what I would do because the alternative is Trump. Who's worse, Tulsi or Trump? Frankly, I don't even know. It's just kind of, you know, it's deflating when you hear somebody talk about this in a way, you know, I mean, she clearly understands and has read the Mueller report. I definitely advise everybody, which again, I will include that in the link of the Patreon description. If you haven't seen it, if you haven't read the report, watch this. It's fun because there's some celebrities. It's not hard to understand. It's pretty easy to understand. And it will give you an arsenal of information to back up any kind of arguments you're making when you're debating with somebody who doesn't necessarily have all the information. But that said, let's try to stay positive because one of the things Vladimir Putin wants is disgust and apathy. If we're disgusted and if we're apathetic, we're not going to vote because we're going to feel like, oh, there's no chance that we're going to win. Don't give Vladimir Putin that satisfaction, please. Just stay focused. And if it's all too much for you, take a fucking break. You know, don't go on Twitter. Don't watch the news. If you're an informed person and you understand Trump is an existential threat, then take a break. Go to the movies. Have some fun. Enjoy your holiday. Come back later when you're a little refreshed. But just please don't lose hope. That's all we've got right now. Until the election. I mean, it's not all we've got, but it's the only thing that we've, you know, Obama talked about the audacity of hope. Please have that audacity, hope. Because again, people who are disgusted and say, oh, there's nothing to be hopeful for, then I'm not going to vote. They can lose us this election. Please don't be one of them. All right, that's it. You can follow me on Twitter at Author Kimberly, KimBerLey. You can also check out my books on Amazon. I've got Peyton's Choice about teen abortion. I've got American Woman, and that's kind of about women and the right to vote and personal stories from me as an activist, an online activist, and someone who's been, who had the pleasure of speaking at the Capitol two times, talk about the Equal Rights Amendment, all that good stuff. Also, the Virgin Diaries, which is stories from adults talking about how they had sex for the first time and what it felt like emotionally, more than physically, but mostly emotionally. And then last, Ain't No Sunshine, Men Reveal the Pain of Heartbreak, where men tell their stories of heartache, heartbreak, and losing somebody that they love. That's it for today. Don't forget, three shows next week. And we will see you next time.